Well, good evening. Welcome, everyone, to our Wednesday night service. And those watching on Facebook, please do not adjust your television. We moved to the other side of the church. Sometimes you got to cross the aisle, you know what I mean? But anyway, it is good to be here tonight. And sometimes you just got to do things to might get a different feeling, a different result. And I already feel different already. Y'all feel different being over here?
Yeah.
That's because we're on the other side of the church. But anyway, it is good to be here tonight. Hope everybody has had a good week this week so far. And Brother Jeff has a song for us, as he normally does, here in just a moment. But I did want to dive right into things and mention a few people, and then we'll open up the floor, give you an opportunity. Spoke with Brother Michael Bendy. That's Michael and Shauna. Brother Michael's cousin, I believe he was 42, 43, passed away unexpectedly yesterday. Michael's pretty shooken up. He was pretty close to his cousin, and so pray for their families during this time. Also, Miss Shauna's uncle, he passed away last Saturday. We mentioned him Wednesday night of last week, and then he passed away that Saturday. So they've got a couple funerals going on in the family. So remember them when you pray. Went to see Brother James Townsend yesterday in Kenistone, and walked in the room, and he was sitting up and smiling. He says his breathing is better. Don't want to tell all of his business, but they said that about 10 pounds of fluid they were able to get off of him. And so I haven't talked to Miss Shirley today, but he was supposed to be released today and go home today. Okay, didn't happen, huh? Okay. Well, So he's still there, but let's pray for him. And the doctor came in when I was there and said something about the kidney levels. And he also said, doctor said something that I didn't realize, but, you know, I'm thinking the more water you drink, the better. Well, if you're having kidney trouble, they say drink less water, less fluids. And that's what they told him. Of course, about 8 bottles of water a day is what everybody needs to drink, they said. And but for him, evidently it's less than that. So let's remember him. Also, Brother Alan Clayton, let's continue to remember him. He needs our prayers, of course, but lost another 5 pounds without trying. He gave me an update today. They're doing blood tests, x-rays, an EEG. We'll do a heart monitor. He has an appointment with urologist in a couple weeks. Our choir director needs our prayers tonight. They need to get to the bottom of this. I told him, I said, maybe you need a second opinion. And he said he has a wonderful, great doctor. And so he has a lot of... you know, he believes in his doctor, so we're just going to pray him through whatever's going on, you know, especially, you know, when you're eating and you still are dropping a lot of weight, something has to be, you know, the reason for that. But it's our prayer that it's nothing major. He says, Alan says that he's in the Lord's hands, so let's just lift him up in prayer tonight. And I will call off the names on the prayer list, and I'll open up the floor. Let's remember our children's home. Let's continue to remember Miss Christy Teague, the Teague family, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Brother Harold Dolph and his granddaughter, Don and Carla Rich, Bobby and Nancy McClendon, Richard Martin, Miss Mary Ann Sanvey. November 9th will be your surgery, knee surgery, so we're remembering her. Miss Claudia, CC Prestridge, Let's see. Miss Cassie's with us. She wasn't feeling good over the weekend, but she's back feeling good. And good to see Miss Tracy and her mother with us, back with us tonight. And you went on a pretty far trip, from what I understand, Alaska and back. But she had a cold, wasn't feeling well, and so she's back with us. Good to see her, Miss Dorothy, with us tonight. And let's see. Randy and Diane Ely, the Daleys and Ashworth, Rusty, Chris Watkins, Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown and the Marines, Peyton Cochran, the Navy, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. Is there anything I need to take off here, add to? I'll open up the floor if you have anything tonight. Anybody at all? In the back? Travis. All right. I had it right, right, Travis? All right. Welcome tonight, brother. It's a member of our country and the protection thereof. Vote. We need a vote. I tell you, I'm about tired of these ads on TV, though. Oh, man. You know, they go back and forth so much, I got to thinking, well, what if one of them just didn't go back and attack the other? They just, you know, did what they're supposed to do. To me, that would seem like they had more character. I mean, you know, and may get more votes. But anyway, I just... I tell you, it's a mess. But yeah, let's remember to vote, everyone. Anybody else? This tonight. Thank you for sharing that. Trace? Who is this? Uncle Walt. Oh, she's Michael Walt. Okay. We'll remember. Well, again, it's, you know, it's the distance from me to you. That's okay. Anybody else? Let's remember our young people tonight and remember those teaching as well. A couple other things before we pray. This coming up Sunday is Youth Sunday. So that'll be on Sunday morning. And as of right now, I'll be preaching that. And then Sunday night will be our fall fellowship. And so the question is, what are we going to do if it rains? Well, we'll just bring it inside. We'll do what we do on our normal last Sunday night fellowship. We'll have, you know, eating and things like that. And again, there's the puppets skit that's taking place. That's a great addition this year to have. And several other things. So we'll just move it inside, but we're praying that the weather will hold and we'll just be able to have a good time outside. I like to see that grill smoking and hamburgers and hot dogs. That's a lovely, lovely sight and smell. But remember that on next Sunday night. Okay, anybody else? All right, well, let's all come and pray. Those that would, meet us in the altar. And pray where you're at, wherever you're comfortable. And then Brother Jeff has a song for us.
come to all four verses.
appreciate that, Brother Jeff. And that's a man with a tough thumb, I guarantee it. Thumbing that guitar. So good tonight, so good. All right, we're going to be in the book of Judges once again. Judges chapter number 3. Judges 3 is where we'll be. Two Sundays ago, on a Sunday morning, we talked about Samson. Also, that previous Wednesday, before that Sunday, we also talked about Samson. That previous Wednesday, we basically went through his life, a synopsis of his life. And then that Wednesday, we talked about the donkey's jawbone. And then last Sunday morning and Sunday night, it was a two-part message. We talked about Othniel, and we looked at Othniel a little bit, and the great work that he did. And tonight, we're going to continue in that same vein. We are actually going to skip over the second judge. Othniel would be judge number one, and Ehud will be judge number 2. And judge number 3 is Shamgar, chapter 3 of the book of Judges. And we're going to look at Shamgar tonight. And the title of the lesson is Judge Shamgar. Judge Shamgar. And he's found in Judges chapter 3 in verse 31. He has one whole verse to himself. One whole verse to himself. And so I want to read that verse as we begin to look at Judge Shamgar and at some things that stand out in his life that are applicable to our life tonight. And Judges chapter number 3 in verse 31, the Bible says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Let's bow for prayer. I normally start off in prayer, but let's bow for prayer, and then we will get into the lesson. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you'd bless the continual reading of your word. Holy Spirit, use what we've studied and pondered would apply it to your people's hearts tonight, that we may be comforted, that we may be challenged, and that we may be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so that's Judges chapter number 3, verse number 31. Again, Judge Shamgar. Judge Shamgar. There is a principle called the Shamgar principle. Has anybody ever heard of that? The Shamgar principle. You might want to write this down. This is pretty good. I found it today. The Shamgar principle is basically three things. Start where you are. Use what you have. And do what you can. That's the Shamgar principle. And I just want to say that that's basically his life. Shamgar started where he was at. He used what he had, and he did what he can. He did what he could. And God used him greatly. Now, that's the Shamgar principle. And this is all my introduction. I said that Shamgar has one verse to himself, but he actually has two verses. If you turn over in chapter number 5, notice verse number 6. Judges 5:6. This is Shamgar's only two verses. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. Wow, what a verse that is. The highways were unoccupied, the travelers walked through byways. And just to wrap up that verse and get back to our main verse tonight, basically, the highways were empty because of all of the robbers and thieves of the time were robbing and thieving. And so the people of the community, they found back ways. They made byways through the wilderness, through the woods, so they couldn't be seen coming and going and traveling. But Shamgar's name is mentioned there, and then in our text verse tonight, that's the other place where Shamgar's name is mentioned. Out of this one verse tonight, verse number 31 of Judges 3, I want to mention four things about Shamgar. Four simple things, and again, I hope these things are a blessing, a help, an encouragement, and a challenge at the same time. Number one, the definition of his name. And after him, speaking of after Ehud, was Shamgar. What does the name Shamgar mean? Well, it's a twofold meaning. Number one, it means sword. Shamgar's name means sword, but it also means a stranger there. And so it means sword, but then it means a stranger there. The second definition, a stranger there, pretty much points to his origin, the man Shamgar. Because there's really not a lot recorded about Shamgar. His origin is not mentioned. There's not much said about it. The only other person in the Bible named Shamgar, to my knowledge, is back in Jeremiah 39, verse 3, as we try to trace back his ancestry. But pretty much this has nothing to do with him other than the other mention of his name, someone different. Jeremiah 39, 3, there's a general there in Babylon named Shamgar Nebo. And so really that's the only history we have of Shamgar before the book of Judges, is that of a Babylonian general named Shamgar Nebo, and really not a whole lot about his ancestry or his origin. And so that's the definition of his name. It means sword, but it also means a stranger there. Now, Shamgar, again, he was the third judge, Othniel being the first judge, Ehud being the second judge, and then the third judge being Shamgar. We may preach on Ehud on Sunday morning, not sure yet. But the Bible says, and after him was Shamgar, then it says, the son of Anath. Now, again, we have no tribal background. Some say that he may be from the tribe of Judah. We're not sure. But we have this man named Shamgar who has two verses and who did a whole lot for God without really an origin to where he was from, without a big ancestry background. And so you can begin to see how this is being painted, how that God, he could take someone where there's not a big spiritual background. He can take someone where there's not a line of preachers in the family, just someone out of nowhere, and he can take them and use them for his glory. And that's what we began to see in the life of this judge, Shamgar. So number one, the definition of his name. Number two tonight, I want you to notice the duty he was occupied with. What was Shamgar by trade? Well, look again in verse 31. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men, and here it is, with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. The only way to really know his trade is by the weapon that he used. And so, in all likelihood, because of the weapon he had and what he used to slay those 600 men, this ox goad, it really points that he was a farmer. He had an ox goad. And this tells us that he was a cattleman, or he had a farm of some kind. And so the duty he was occupied with was that of farming. working in the field, working with hairy beasts in the field, working in the dirt, getting dirty every day, working hard, just trying to make a living, trying to make ends meet. And most believe that in all likelihood, Shamgar was a poor man. You say, well, I don't know because being a cattleman, well, we really don't know. A lot of commentators say likely he was a poor man, working with what he had, working as a farmer in the cattle that he had, the ox that he had, and really he probably just made ends meet. And again, this is magnifying what God did for him and God did through him. So the duty he was occupied with was that of being a farmer. In all likelihood, he was a poor man. But I want you to notice what the verse does not say. Our verse tonight does not say that Shamgar said, I'm a nobody. In fact, this verse doesn't say anything Shamgar said, which tells me one of two things. Number one, actions always speak louder than words. Shamgar did not say a word. You can look at it, you can dissect it, you can strain yourself at it. He doesn't say anything. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines, 600 men with an ox goat, and he also delivered Israel. Even the other verse you read, Shamgar never said a word. Tonight it's not so much about what we say, it's about what we do. And we're living in a world where everybody's a Christian, you know. Everybody. And in the lost and dying world, they're watching us. And the sad commentary is that there's a lot of Christians who talk the talk, but it just doesn't line up with the kind of walk that they walk. And so I believe within this verse, we can see when it comes to Shamgar and his character is that he doesn't do a lot of talking. In fact, he doesn't do any talking. He allows his actions to speak. He was a warrior for God. That's what he was. Wrapped up in one verse, being a warrior for God. But Shamgar does not say, I'm a nobody. He was a farmer, a cattleman. Yes, he did those things. Probably was poor, struggling to make ends meet. But when God came upon him, and when God spoke to him, and when God enabled him to slay all of these men, the 600 men, there was never a time where he said, God, you can't use me. There was never a moment where he delayed in picking up his ox goad because he felt like he was just a nobody. He felt poor. He may have been poor, may have been struggling to make ends meet, but he didn't allow that to define who he was, you see. I remember one time at Floyd Road when we were part of the homeless ministry. And one Christmas, we went to Marietta Square. And I remember preaching out there one night or during the day at Marietta Square. And there was a homeless man that I was talking to afterwards. He says, preacher, God don't love me. God couldn't ever use me. God couldn't ever do anything for me. I'm poor. I said, can I tell you something? I said to him, let me ask you a question. Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. No, give me a little more. Where was he born? He said, a manger. I said, that's right. He was born in a horse's trough, out in a stinky field with pigs and sheep and cows and all these smells. Could have been in a hotel of royalty, but chose not to. In fact, he was rejected. There was no room for him in the inn. But you see, that was all part of God's plan so that the poor, the needy, can relate to our great God and Savior who was born in a barn, basically. And so I told him that, and the light went off, and he was like, wow. But Shamgar did not allow what he did for a living. It did not allow how much money he had. Did not allow his past. Says nothing about his past. Did not allow his upbringing. Didn't have a lot of Christians in his family, probably, as much as we know. He did not allow all of those pre-things to affect his great action for God he took on that day. I'm here to tell all of us tonight, the same goes for us. Doesn't matter where we came from. If you got a Christian pedigree, praise the Lord. If you do not have a Christian pedigree, praise the Lord. Because He can still use each and every one of you. He can use me, you, those watching on Facebook. It does not matter with the Lord. So that's what we see with Shamgar tonight. We see that he was a farmer. Shamgar did not say, I'm a nobody. Now you remember what Moses said. God, you can't use me. I stutter, Lord, you can't use me. I got a problem with speaking. Lord, you can't use me. I'm a nobody. I can't do it. And we know that God used him. Not so with Shamgar. Shamgar didn't take that route as Moses did. Shamgar, he was available for God. He was a poor farmer, yet he allowed the Lord to use him. Tonight, God can use anyone to do great things. We need His super on our natural. That's what we need. That's where you get a supernatural moving of God in someone's life, is by God putting His super on our natural. The Lord tonight is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And I know that I'm speaking to an older crowd tonight. I said older, didn't say old. I'm speaking to a seasoned crowd tonight, and I understand that. I'm speaking to a seasoned crowd tonight. And as I read the Bible and study the Old Testament, a lot of those who were called to full-time Christian service, some of them were when they were young, but a lot of them when they were older. Caleb, God got in his spirit. Caleb said, give me a mountain at his ripe old age, older age. And of course, Moses himself, being 80 years old when God called him from the backside of the desert, burned something in his life that motivated him to move forward. Of course, Abraham and on we go all the way through the Bible, Old Testament and New. That's what we see. The Apostle Paul was an older man. So tonight, this applies to everybody, especially us that are here tonight on a Wednesday night. There was a man one day, and he was hammering some nails into a wall. And he had his nails, but then he was looking for his hammer. Where'd my hammer go? So he didn't have his hammer. If he would have had his hammer, he would have got that nail in that wall and tap, 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 tap. It would have probably been in. What am I going to do? I don't have a hammer with me. And so what he does is he takes his shoe off. Tap, tap, tap. Lot of work. And about an hour later, he finally gets that nail in the wall. And what that is a simple illustration of God is looking for those who are available. He's not looking for the hammers of the world. He's looking for the shoes of the world. Hammers are, well, I know that I can do the job. I know I can get it done. Listen, a lot of times those kind of people have so much pride, they're nowhere to be found when a job needs to get done. And so God reaches down and He pulls up someone who has been in the gutter, someone who is not from a Christian background or a Christian background, doesn't matter, someone who financially is struggling maybe, whatever you may have, whatever the situation calls for. God reaches down and He grabs someone who may not have a lot of finesse, but they're available for God. And this is the deal with Shamgar. He was available. And so the Lord used him. Kind of like that shoe. God used Shamgar. And so we see the duty he was occupied with, that of farming. And he was available for the Lord. We've seen the definition of his name means sword. Means a stranger there. Number three tonight, we see the description of his weapon. Now, notice in verse 31 again. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now, the Bible is talking about his farming tool or his cattle tool as a weapon here, as a weapon. And so we see the description of his, what's the description of his weapon? It was an ox goad, also known as a cattle prod. Get in there, boy. Get over there. Get in there, girl. Get in there. You see Shamgar going around with his big spear with a point on the end. Yeah, yeah. Get in there. Day in and day out, just prodding those cattle. Get in. Don't make them mad. God forbid one of them, you know, cattle don't do what he says, turns around and sticks the tongue out at them. That spear go right through them. Brother Jeff, I got your pick. Your guitar pick. But it was an ox goad, also known as a cattle prod, used for livestock. It was for guiding and spurring oxen. Sometimes he'd have to round them up and move them in. And sometimes he'd have to let them out and scatter them. Then there was individual. So you get the picture. He was prodding these cattle using his ox goad. It had a point, again, on the end of it, and it was a long spear. And so these, let me just give you some something simple to think about here. Something simple, special, and supernatural is what I call it when it comes to this ox goad, the description of his weapon. Shamgar used what he had. He used what he had. Remember the Shamgar principle? Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. He used what he had. That's simple, and it's special, but it's also supernatural that he used what he had. He knew how to use that ox goad. He knew the texture of it. He knew the grain of it. He knew the tip of it. He knew how heavy it was. He knew how long he could swing it before his arms would wear out, rounding up those cattle. He was well experienced with what he had. And God will use with the things we're familiar with the very most for a ministry for him. And it's something special. It's something simple, something supernatural. I'll just go ahead and say that God uses different trials in our life. He uses different experiences. He uses success. He uses failure. He uses setback. He uses advancement. He uses everything that we have been through up to this point in our hand for his glory. And so that's what we're to do tonight. We don't need some big elaborate scheme or plan. We don't need a big booming great orator kind of voice to reach people. All we need is to be available for God and use what we have. What have you been through tonight? What are you going through now? God wants to use that for his glory. And so Shamgar knew about his spear very well, and you know about your situation very well. You know more about your situation than you think you do. You know what it's like to be down, and you know what it's like to pray hard. You know what it's like to be up, and you know what it's like for the sun to shine on you, the S-U-N and S-O-N. You know all of those things. And so when it comes to daily Christian living, God wants you to use all of that. Stick it all to the wall. Throw it all to the wall and see what sticks. The description of his weapon, it was an ox goad. It was something simple, special, and supernatural. Shamgar used what he had. The lad and his lunch was used. Moses and his rod was used. The worker and his boot was used. Us and our faith was used. That's what God uses. So the Bible says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. So that's number three tonight, the description of his weapon. And that's just simply stating that he used what he had. God can use you and what experience you have. Lastly, and I'll be done, number four, the declaration the Bible gives about Shamgar. Notice that last sentence here. It says, and he also delivered Israel. And so the Bible declares Shamgar a deliverer. All in one verse, with the exception of a second, the Bible says that he was a deliverer. The Bible does not say how long Israel was delivered, does not say how many years they had peace. The Bible doesn't say how long Shamgar served. All the Bible says is that he also delivered Israel. Shamgar, the Bible declares, is a deliverer, but a hero. Shamgar was a hero, all wrapped up in one verse. Didn't have the accolades like Othniel, didn't have the accolades even like Samson and some of the other judges. But the true essence, I believe tonight, of a hero, at least Webster's gives this definition of a hero, this is the essence of a true hero, is a person admired for their courage, achievements, and qualities. That's a hero. And all of these are embodied in the life of Shamgar. Again, not a lot of accolades. Don't even know about his background. Poor farmer. Don't even know how long he served. We don't know how long Israel had peace because of him. All we know is that Shamgar was one man that was obedient and used what he had. And God mentions him as a deliverer. He's a hero in the Bible tonight. All in one verse, the man Shamgar. Used what he had. He was a farmer. His name means sword. It also means a stranger there. Not a whole lot said about him and his beginnings or his endings. If you don't remember anything tonight, remember the Shamgar principle, and that is start where you are. Use what you have and do what you can. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the lesson. Lord, I thank you for how that you've worked it in my heart today, in my mind. Wonderful, wonderful truths out of these judges, Lord. And we will just continue here as long as you want us to. I pray tonight that you would just be with your people that are here, be with those watching online. Help us all consider you in everything we say or do. Keep us safe as we leave tonight. Bring us back safely for you Sunday morning, and then our great time of fellowship together Sunday night at our fall festival. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything to mention before we close? There you go. It's really simple, isn't it? Thank you, Miss Glenda. Anyone else? All right. Well, so glad you came tonight, and I hope you got something from the Word. Everybody be safe. Let's just pray for one another. Tell somebody about the Lord, and Lord willing, we'll be back Sunday for Youth Sunday. All right. You're dismissed.